Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the staying up too late of free speech, because I stayed up too late. It's past midnight, and, anyway, let me show for RBN first. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send shekels, which is a form of fundage. You can mail in a boomer check or a Piggly Wiggly money order. You can mail that in to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Okay, there is a app, not an app, it's a website called Duolingo. It's for practicing foreign languages, and I didn't even know it existed until beginning of this year, and I'm trying it out. Okay, come on.
Boo.
Boo, boo. How about this one?
Ling.
Zai.
Jin.
How. All right. Hey, I'm getting points on this one. Yeah, you can do all sorts of things. They got Chinese and Korean and
Zao.
This is the Chinese. They got French and Spanish and Italian. I'm signed up for all of these. Turkish, even. I don't even know Turkish. But why not? And Hawaiian, because who knows? Maybe Tulsi will want to get back together with me. And I can say something other than Fia Fai Hoku Ule. Or Fia Mea Hoku Ule. Okay. Well, and I'm not going to translate that for you. I'll put this down for a second. Get back to that later. I got to do it every day to keep my streak going. That's one of the things. It's an okay thing to do on your spare time. So, all right. So I've got this show on National. It's called National Bugle Radio. It's on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and I've had it since October 2017. That's when John Statmiller called me up and made me an offer I couldn't refuse. He was like, well, at the beginning of that year, I'd started doing Stormfront every day. So I was already committed to Stormfront every day. I was the producer for the David Duke show. I was on whenever he couldn't get another guest, and I was scheduling guests for him and helping direct the show and like that. But, you know, having my own show, and I had filled in for Farron's show for a few months in 2016. So I knew, you know, RBN was a fun gig, so I started doing that, and I've enjoyed it. I've gotten a lot out of it, and, you know, learned some things. And sometimes, you know, David Duke earlier, was it like last week or something, he was, feeling like, oh, he's been doing the same old thing on his show. He asked me if I had any ideas. I said, well, you could do an entire show in a groundhog voice. That might be something. That would be fun to hear. How many people would like to hear David Duke do an entire show in a groundhog voice? I know I would. But, so today's Friday, and we had pretty solid week this week. I was pretty happy with the content that we did. So we did Monday, Mark Collett. It's always solid. And Tuesday, what did I have on Tuesday? Oh, Andy Hitchcock. That was also very solid. So two Brits in a row. Wednesday is Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Patrick show. And then Thursday we had Filbert talking about a lot of cyber stuff, which is a lot more interesting than people might suspect. Well, anyway, I had contacted Paul Stevenson about Friday. That would round out a pretty good week. But the time zones and all, so it's just not working for today. Cato is having, he's having technology issues, so he'll be back soon. David Duke just said, oh, why don't you rebroadcast one of our shows from earlier this week on one of his shows, which I could do, but some of you might have heard it already. And then also it's a different format. It's a different length. And so I don't know. So this is what I'm doing. I'm just talking. And we'll see what happens. So with Cato gone, this means, like, you know, without my regular CCP handler, I've got to do all the China shilling on my own, which I'm perfectly capable of. There has been a lot going on, and so before I show for China, I'm going to show for North Korea. I started watching Tucker today, and I'm in the habit of watching Tucker, but I have to say it's getting unwatchable, and I don't even remember what he was talking about today. In fact, I think I'm going to pause and see what he was talking about today, because he just gratuitously blamed North Korea for something North Korea has nothing to do with. Let me see what it was. Wait a minute, that's the wrong button. Okay, I've gone back to look at Tucker, and you know something? I don't even know what he's talking about. It's something about the Democratic Party. But just listen to what he does.
Ecologists, every one of them, with passionate views on the details of pandemic management. This is, in other words, not a movement of rugged individuals. This is a party based on the idea of the group, the bureaucracy, the blob. It's the party of weak, fearful people who are huddled together for collective power. When the Democratic Party speaks, it is always with one voice, often in a North Korean accent.
Okay, what a faggot. Why drag North Korea into this? He's talking about the Democratic Party. We've been talking about the pandemic and whatever else. I don't know if he was talking about trannies or Black Lives Matter. Whatever it was, North Korea's got nothing to do with it. Why does he have to say with a North Korean accent? And by the way, North Korean accents are awesome. They're much better than South Korean accents. It's really good. It's like, Widihan Sunun Nim Kim Il Sung Dong Sa Manse. It's really, really awesome. So you shouldn't mess with North Korea. And North Korea's got, I guess, 800,000. Is that what they said? 800,000 people are willing to fight America? That is awesome. It's awesome. Andrew Anglin had a very good article about that, and I will keep promoting Andrew Anglin, even though he kind of snubs me all the time. That's okay. I don't mind. Because I'm not trying, I'm really not going for being the most famous person on the internet. It's not what I'm going for. He had a good article about China within the past couple of days. So if you can get it, read it. If you can get the Daily Stormer, read it. It's the most trusted name in news. So, you know, he's talking about the Democrats, they want power, and it just gratuitously brings in North Korea into this. Now, was it yesterday? He was going on and on and on about global warming, which, you know, he says it's a hoax. I don't say it's a hoax. I say there is climate change, but I've got more important things to deal with. So I'm not gonna go into it, but really whether it's global warming policies or whether it's pandemic policies or a lot of other things, there does seem to be kind of this knee-jerk reaction to say when you don't like the policies that they're pushing. There's a knee-jerk reaction just to say that the problem doesn't exist in the first place, rather than to do the harder intellectual work of explaining why those are bad policies or perhaps suggesting something else. I don't feel necessary to suggest other policies for the climate change. Everything's changing. There's environmental change. We just got massive environmental change, but it's, I'm not going to be talking about that today because I can't be bothered. But he was talking about that yesterday and somehow saying that it's all China. It's all China. The reason, the UN is run by China. Since when has the UN been run by China? Really? Through what means is the UN run by China? If you look at the main body, the most important organ of the UN is the Security Council. And while China has a veto on the, as one of the five permanent members of the Security Council, all have vetoes. That's the United States, United Kingdom, France, Russia, and China. Those are the five permanent members, and they all have vetoes, and China's used its veto less than any of the others. They have used it the least, and that's a fact. They don't use that veto very often at all. The United States is used the most. The United States uses it a lot, and the United States has France and Great Britain on there permanently, which are echo chambers typically. And then if you look at the way the Security Council is structured, you usually have at least one or two other European countries, which are mostly in the EU. You get a lot of U.S. client states on there. Usually the Security Council has a majority of U.S. client states on there. So, the UN is, how do you say it is China? How do you say that the General Secretary of the UN, that Portuguese guy, is somehow a Chinese agent, right? And that this, like all the global climate change agenda, which has been going on long before China had any sway in the world, it's been going on for a long time. It certainly was not invented by China. But no, he just gratuitously, just without any backing, he says these things. So it's a real pain in the ass, and I'm so sick of him. And it's getting to the point because we're seeming to pivot now away from the Ukraine, where clearly Zog is losing, to the next thing, which is belligerency towards China. I don't know if there's actually going to be a shooting war. I frankly kind of doubt it, but there could be. And that does seem to have been Tucker's agenda for a long, long time. And a few years ago, when he would have Gordon Chang on once a month, and every now and then he'd mention China, it was one thing, but now it's daily. Now it's daily. Even if the news has absolutely nothing to do with China, he's still going to gratuitously drop references to China. So he could be talking about the whole tranny agenda. And then, he'll say, but your voices are of reason are censored. What is this, China? He just gratuitously brings in China, which is a real pain. Okay, well, I'm back. It's going to be disjointed today. A few things. I received from Dr. Duke a video of Katie Halper, who is a pro-peace young Jewish woman, who's not particularly, well, I can't say whether she's particularly obnoxious or not. This video, she really didn't feature herself very much in, but I guess it's her podcast. And she had a young man who I was not familiar with, and Denis Kucinich. And Denis Kucinich was making reasonably good arguments, and he was comparing what we're doing in Ukraine to what we were doing in Afghanistan and what we were doing in Iraq and saying we really need an accounting for what happened in Iraq and pointing out it's the same people. The same people are responsible for all of this. And of course they are. The same people. You know, I talk so much about Victoria Nuland with regards to what's going on in Ukraine, that she's the chief architect, and she is a chief architect. And when people talk about the Iraq war, they might say that Paul Wolfowitz was the chief architect. He was the assistant secretary, what do you call it, the undersecretary of defense? He was the number two person at the Pentagon, the number two civilian. And, you know, there were others. There was Douglas Feith and Richard Perle. And, you know, there was a whole bunch of mainly Jewish neocons, mainly associated with the Project for a New American Century. So 20 years ago, people were talking a lot about the Project for a New American Century, and it had written this big policy paper that seemed to be predicting the events of 9/11. So there was a lot of focus on that. It seemed to be saying, well, we need to regime change these countries, but in order to get the American people on board, there needs to be a Pearl Harbor-like event, right? And lo and behold, there was 9/11. So whether that's just a coincidence or what, I mean, it's probably a factual statement that the only way that the American people could get on board with something like that it was for a Pearl Harbor-like event. Maybe that was a factual statement. Of course, people did get on board with invading Iraq, or at least invading Kuwait. And there was an invasion of Iraq. It just wasn't a complete invasion of Iraq in 1991 in the first Gulf War. So maybe it was a factual statement. Maybe it wasn't. But of course, the Project for a New American Century that was co-founded by Robert Kagan, who is Victoria Nuland's husband. The other co-founder was William Crystal, Bill Crystal, not to be confused with the comedian. Although this Bill Crystal, I think he was a former roommate of Jon Stewart or something like that. They've got a relationship that goes way back. What else? Oh, and William Crystal, who was Tucker Carlson's protege. Not protege. Tucker Carlson's mentor. Tucker Carlson was William Crystal's protege, although he's been very critical of... Tucker has been very critical of William Crystal ever since he got his current Fox News show. Anyway, but it's more than that. So is it the same people? I mean, it's the same family. But it's more than that, because if you look at the... the first term of President George Bush... Well, who was the State Department supplied policy advisor to Dick Cheney? It was Victoria Nuland, right? So, I mean, Victoria Nuland was involved in that stuff too, and it is the same people. You get a lot of the same people, the same names. So the same people who wanted to attack Iraq and then overthrow like seven countries in the Middle East, seven countries that were had bad relations with Israel, so it was a Jewish priority. These people are the same ones who want to overthrow Vladimir Putin because it's a Jewish priority. It's all a Jewish priority. And I guess the reason, Dr. Duke has talked to me about Katie Halper in the past.
You've got the magic touch. Ooh. It makes me glow so much. Ooh. It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm. Ooh. It's like a alarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch. Here I go reeling. I'm feeling the glow. Oh, but where can I go? then I felt your touch. And now I've learned I can return magic touch. Here I go. I didn't know too much, and then I felt your touch, and now I've learned I can return the magic touch.
Sounds kind of familiar. It's obviously a Jewish name, but when I was looking at this video this morning, I didn't really recognize her. But at any rate, so she's opposed to the wars, but being Jewish herself, she's not going to say it's a Jewish thing. Kucinich was pretty reasonable. He gave a recap of the events, the proximate events that led to this war in Ukraine, including the overthrow of President Viktor Yanukovych by, I don't know if he specifically mentioned Victoria Nuland, but he did say the State Department, you know, immediately, as soon as Yanukovych was overthrown, the State Department started bankrolling the government in Kiev, in Ukraine, and bankrolling, specifically, he said they bankrolled the military operations against the Russian-speaking provinces in the east and killed 14,000 people in the process. So kudos to Kucinich. The other guy on the show, who's, what was his last name? It was like H-O-H-L or something like that. He was taking what I guess you could call, I don't know what it is, the, he's not a Republican. Andrew Englund used the term today, Republicans are the real Democrats, you know, in assessing Ted Cruz's behavior. But, you know, he was taking the position, yeah, I want to see Russia leave Ukraine and, you know, go back to its original borders. I want to see this, but this is just isn't the way. Which, honestly, I don't want to see Russia go back to its pre-2014 borders. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see the Jewish-led state of Ukraine take Crimea, and in particular the Sevastopol naval base, which has been Russia's naval base, main warm water port for centuries, like a couple hundred years, at least, over a couple hundred years. So I don't want to see these four provinces that joined Russia last September, or I guess it was October, where they were formally admitted to the Russian Federation. I don't want to see them reincorporated into Ukraine at this point. I don't want to go back to the status quo, what do you call it, status quo antebellum, the status quo before the war started. I want a new status quo. There was also discussion about the dollar, which has been a source of so much, I guess the term that Dennis Kucinich used was flexibility. It gives the United States flexibility. And it's going to erode, and its value is going to erode. I don't know if you use the term collapse. And Tucker's talked about this a lot, the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Other people say the dollar as the name of the petrodollar, as a source of American strength. But what's it been used for? What has that financial flexibility been used for? To finance perpetual wars? To finance all sorts of bailouts that are ultimately bailouts of, say, Wall Street, or transfers of wealth to Black Lives Matter or whatever. Not that Black Lives Matter has received trillions of dollars, but, you know, there has been, according to some calculations that were made a few years ago. It was actually a number that Reverend James Manning? That Reverend Manning used on my show, $19 trillion in welfare payments to blacks since the war on poverty started. That it's often pointed out that we're able to engage in this kind of deficit spending because of the position of the dollar. Actually, if you look at other countries that have convertible.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. I'm the great pretender, adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. like a crown, pretending that you're still around. Too real is this feeling of make believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the great pretender.
Spending because of the position of the dollar. Actually, if you look at other countries that have convertible currencies, ones that you can trade freely in the foreign exchange market that don't have foreign exchange controls, think of the yen. The yen's got, Japan's got a massive perennial budget deficit. This has been a thing in Japan going back decades, and many European countries that have convertible, well, the euro is a convertible currency. So the countries, I don't know, I mean, I haven't done a study of the euro. The obviously England or the UK never went on the euro, and you have the Bank of England. You also have a Bank of Scotland and, what is it, a Bank of Ulster or something that issue currencies, but for the most part, the pound is maintained by the Bank of England. So other countries have had this ability to do deficit spending as well. And if you look at Japan, the massive deficit spending in Japan, and if you look at the debt-to-GDP ratio, the debt-to-GDP ratio in Japan is similar to what it is in America. But still, let's go ride with this for a second. That how important is it to maintain the dollar in its current status, if all that status has done is allowed for us to fund perpetual war using effectively, I guess, other countries' resources, other countries' money, and fund an anti-white welfare state. So there you go. There, the
If you look at reserve currencies, the dollar's been the number one reserve currency, but it's not the exclusive one. I think if you looked at foreign reserves held by central banks around the world, that the United States would make up the majority, maybe 60% or more, 60 to 70%, it is a majority. And the euro comes in next, and then the yen, and then the pound, and then maybe the Chinese yuan, which is, or renminbi, you can say it either way, which is odd because it's not really a fully convertible currency, but it is starting to be held as a reserve currency. The Swiss franc's in there too, but these are in very, very small amounts. But if the Chinese yuan, if it starts being used in more and more trading, that does erode the position of the dollar. And here's one other thing. The dollar right now is strong. It is overvalued compared to the levels it's been at vis-a-vis other major currencies over the past 10 years or 12 years. The main foreign exchange relationship, I guess, is between the dollar and the euro. When I was involved in the foreign currency markets, it was foreign exchange markets. It was before the euro, so the main relationship was the dollar yen, and the second one was the dollar Deutschmark, and other European countries were pretty much linked. They're most of them, not the pound, but say the French franc or the Italian lira were pretty much pegged to the Deutschmark. So that was important. They were both important. But with the dollar-yen, the dollar-yen has been, since the war started, it's gotten up to just about 150 yen to the dollar, levels it hadn't been at probably since the late 1980s. I don't think it had been there. So it was like over a 30-something year high last summer. It's gone down to, right now it's around 130 to the dollar, which is still very strong. It's still stronger than it had been at any time over the past 15, 20, probably all this century. It's probably hasn't been this high. So it's still at very high levels. The dollar had strengthened. I don't know if this is still true, but as of a few months ago, the dollar was stronger since the start of the war. It had strengthened more than any other currency, with one exception being the Russian ruble. The Russian ruble actually has strengthened. So there you go. But I wanted to get back to this Katie Halper video just momentarily before moving on. And, you know, this is something that you tend to see. You tend to see people arguing their position from the point of view of the people listening, of their opponents, right? So this guy, not Kucinich, I'm not really faulting Kucinich this way, but this guy, whatever his name was, on Katie Halper's broadcast, whole or something like that. Hold on a second. Okay, I wanted to check this guy. His name, it's Matthew Ho, and it's not, there's no L in there, it's just H-O-H, Matthew Ho, and I don't think he's got a Wikipedia page, but he has a Ballotopia page, because he was the Green Party candidate last time around for Senate in North Carolina, got 0.8% of the vote. At any rate, and it says he's a disabled veteran. Got a bachelor's degree from Tufts University in 1995. He's 49 years old and was in the Marine Corps for 10 years. Disabled veteran. It says he's from New Jersey and that he is a Unitarian. But there's nothing there. That was a joke from the Simpsons, where Lisa is... there's some sort of fair, and the minister had ice cream, like ice cream flavors. He was selling ice cream or serving ice cream, and there were different flavors. There was Baptist, and there was Methodist, and there was Congregationalist or whatever, Lutheran. And Lisa looks in the can that is marked Unitarian, and she says, "But there's nothing there." And the minister says, "Exactly." Okay. I don't know if you're familiar with Unitarian churches, but okay. So this Matthew Ho guy, who is Green Party, I'm not trying to be super critical about him, but to say that, well, yeah, he shares the goals of Victoria Nuland, or at least, I mean, maybe he's not admitting that the goal of Victoria Nuland is to overthrow Vladimir Putin, which that's clearly what the goal is. And Kucinich was calling this out, saying that Ukraine's being used as a pawn to go against Denis. And I was pleased to hear him say that, but I think he said that. It's being used as a pawn to go against Russia, to go against Vladimir Putin. But Ho was saying, you know, he shares the goal of getting Russia out of Ukraine, but this isn't the way to do it. We need a peaceful way of doing it. And, you know, so this is what Andrew Anglin was talking about in article today. Let me get to that. And this is what I mentioned earlier, but just when Blinken was in the Senate being questioned, maybe it was yesterday. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz, who is one of the fattest and most retarded Cubans in America, attacked on the grounds that Blinken isn't committed enough to war with the Russians. Cruz's argument is effectively Republicans are the real Democrats. He is claiming to be more committed to Democrat policy than the Democrats themselves. How are these people able to claim that this represents the American right, which voted for Trump and peace with Russia? And, you know, so he's saying Ted Cruz is betraying the American right. Well, it's really the same thing with this Matthew Ho guy, except he represents or is trying to represent the American old-fashioned left, the Green Party, which is supposedly a peace party. Of course, Green politicians in Germany, in particular, Angelina, girls jumping on trampolines, Bauerbach, and the foreign minister of Germany, are way, way on board with this war. They're way out in front, saying they don't care what their own voters think, that they've got to send aid to Ukraine. And that's kind of Ho's argument is, well, no, we share the objectives. We're anti-Russian. We share the objectives, but just not through war. All right. Let's move on. There was something else interesting in the Daily Stormer maybe a day or two ago, and that was about these riots going on in France. And I've said it many times, not that I'm an expert in France, but I studied the French language for a long time. Never got really that good at it, but I did study it in the classroom for over 9 years, between 9 and 10 years, about 9 and a half years. And I spent a bit of time in France, and I was able to speak pretty well, read and write pretty well. I always had trouble hearing, this listening. My listening comprehension wasn't that great. It was good enough, but it wasn't that great. And that's because I'm a boomer, and in the 70s and early 80s, when I was studying French, there was no internet. There was no way I could practice listening. I could practice reading. I could go down to the library and pick up Le Monde or Le Figaro or some books. I've got some books. I've read complete books in French, which are, there's a lot of good stuff in French, but in terms of listening, and the spoken language is somewhat different from the written language. In terms of listening, I never was able to practice except by going to France or going to Quebec. So I never got good at that. A while back, I was trying to listen to some of this stuff on the internet now, but it's been so long since I studied French. But I was trying to listen to Europe 1, or maybe France 24, whatever it is, France 24, is that what you'd say? I don't know. At any rate, the one thing I have learned through my study of the French language and politics and whatnot is the French are very, very unruly people, and they know how to do revolutions. They really do. And I was listening to some university lectures recently on European history, and the guy, he got to the French Revolution, and he was explaining, you know, the they went out, they made barricades in the street, and they stormed public buildings and things like that. And he said it created a template for how to do revolution. And they did it again in 1830 and in 1848, and just over and over and over again. You saw it in 1968, or was it 69 when they, I guess it was 68, leading to the resignation of Charles de Gaulle. And there might not have been anything quite so tumultuous since then, and that's, you're talking about over 50 years. But there's been a lot. But you've had, in that 50 years, I mean, you remember a few years ago there was the Yellow Vest movement, and they were pretty rambunctious. You've had farmers block roads and dump milk and slaughter sheep and doing all sorts of stuff. France is, and I guess part of it is that they're going to be educated in political violence and revolution. The French Revolution's a big part of their history there, and is a kind of founding event for them, even though it was such a mixed bag. The flag they use, the tricolor flag, that is the flag of the French Revolution. It's not the flag of the Bourbon monarchies. So, and what's the proximate cause of this? Well, the proximate cause is pension reform. So, what's the dude's name? Macron. And he's raising the retirement age, I think, from 60 to 62. The French have, over the course of the 20th century, they got a very, very generous, social safety net with healthcare and with pensions, early retirement age. And honestly, I mean, when our 65-year-old retirement age was settled back, I guess, when Roosevelt created Social Security, the life expectancy was only about 70. And so, you know, you work for 40 years, 40-something years, and then you retire maybe 5 years, 10 years. And it was feasible, but if people are going to be living, if people are going to be living into their 80s, but also disabilities become such a big deal, you do have to make adjustments. So on this proximate issue, on the immediate cause of these riots, actually, I haven't looked into the French pension system that much, but I wouldn't be surprised if I were more or less on the side of Macron on this one particular policy issue. But this is the frustrations that the French have are multi-cause. They've got a whole bunch of reasons for being frustrated. Massive immigration's one of them. The war in Ukraine is one of them. A lot of the stuff that we complain about has to do with this. And right-wing parties have, well, 2 weeks ago or so, I was reading about a splinter group that splintered off Marine Le Pen off of her national, they used to call it the National Front, now they're calling it the National Rally, so they can be totally non-anti-Semitic and totally not racist. So she's trying to break with her father's legacy. But a group had split away from that, and they called themselves the Patriots. And they had been protesting, I think they had been protesting against the war, but there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of frustration. And so here we are, we're seeing, this war has been going on, the sanctions have been backfiring, and the sanctions were intended to get the Russian people out on the streets demonstrating against their president. But what we have, and if you go to the Daily Stormer, you'll see a lot of...
They asked me how I knew my true love was true. Oh, 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 sweet lie, something here inside cannot be denied.
Said someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, let hearts on fire. You must realize smoke gets in your eyes. They could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am without my love.
Without my love.
Now laughing friends tears I cannot hide. So I smile and say, when the lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes.
That fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, that twilight time. In the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath. In the sweet and simple way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you together. At last, at twilight time, together, at last, at twilight time.
To get the Russian people out on the streets demonstrating against their president. But what we have, and if you go to the Daily Stormer, you'll see a lot of short little videos that are in Twitter tweets. And you can see here and there and here and there, very large demonstrations and riots and tear gas and fires and all sorts of stuff. A lot of stuff is going on. It's happening over there in France. Will it spread? Well, it's spread in the past. Things that were happening in France spread in the past. I think 1948, these revolutions that shook Europe. Really, when I said 1848, I believe that all started off in France. So France is kind of the trendsetter for this type of thing. We'll see if this spreads or not. I don't know if it's going to spread or not, but this is what the French are good at. And there you go. All right, so there's only a few minutes left, and I just want to say that hang in there. All right, I'm tired. I've been working at this kind of stuff for years and years and years, and look around and do we see progress? I mean, maybe we were hopeful in 2015 and 2016 with the Trump campaign. Then he wins election. There seemed to be like a lot of stuff going on. Brexit was going on. A lot of stuff going on. And here we are, 2023, and have things gotten better? Like, you look around, and when you look around, what you see seems to be getting worse. But it does seem to me that even if we're not saving ourselves, even if we're not waking up, the forces that are oppressing us are being whooped. They're being beaten. They're being embarrassed by this alliance of Russia and China. And I know some people want to just think everything's planned. Everything's planned. Everything's fake and gay. Everything's a gay op. But the people that we can name, you know, your Victoria Nulands, your William Crystals, and all these people, this whole parade of people that you can name, they're back on their heels. And I don't see how we can't think that that's a good thing. And so, honestly, like, I'm getting to the point where even though I think white people theoretically could extract themselves from their problems, white Americans and whatnot, fairly easily, simply by asserting themselves, not violently, but just by saying, well, you're complaining about white people all the time, then it's fair for us to complain about Jews, just by complaining about them. But is it going to happen? I don't know. I mean, if I had to bet, I would bet that whites are never going to do that, that they're not going to do that. Does that mean it's hopeless? Well, you've got, like I said, the whole international system is changing, and we are moving, and future historians are already saying that this Ukraine war is a watershed. It is a turning point in the history of international relations. We are morphing, we are moving from a unipolar world centered around the United States, as it has been since 1991, since the breakup of the Soviet Union, to a multipolar world, but with the center of gravity really being around the Russia-China axis. So there you go. Okay, I tell you what, I am tired. I'm hopeful, but I'm tired. And so I'm just going to sign off and say have a good weekend, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
You saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really could care for. And then there suddenly
It's a Blue Moon.